I asked you if you were a Kiwi, but you're an Aussie.
I'm originally from Australia, that's right.
Tell me a little bit about your journey from Australia to Exeter, New Hampshire.
There's something about Australians, they consider it essential to travel as soon as they grow up. Maybe because they're confined by the ocean, they feel they have to escape to the other side of the world or to travel in Asia and explore the world. And I was no different. But also, I actually benefited from having an incredible exposure to music when I was young in Australia. There was a diaspora of musicians from Europe who had fled from the war, Second World War, and there was just an extraordinarily vibrant musical scene in Sydney, my hometown. So I had wonderful training and was exposed to the best of music from a very early age. So, and also my parents exposed me to music, so I grew up with it.
And
in my life.
Did you play an instrument when you were growing up?
I studied violin, and the first part of my career as a musician was as a violinist. And that took me to Europe, and where I studied in Germany, and then to the United States, to New York, where I studied at Manhattan School of Music and started off my professional career.
Well, how did you make, I'm always curious how someone makes that transition from a performer and or student to the conducting part, because of course they're in the same family, but that's a different kind of direction to go in. So,
well, I have to confess, I was obsessed with conducting and with orchestras from the age of 10.
Really?
So, in spite of the fact that I became a violinist and loved every second of being a violinist, I was always completely fascinated by the art of conducting. And I guess I was learning on the job in a way, because I got to play from the age of 16 onwards with some extraordinary conductors. I played in the Sydney Opera House and the Australian Opera Orchestra, the Sydney Symphony. And I had this wonderful training watching wonderful conductors and learning the repertoire at the same time from the inside as a violinist. So I guess that is the first part of it. And then as my career developed, when I'd been a violinist in New York for, say, 20 years or so, and I'd done a lot in chamber music and contemporary music and orchestral music, I started to get the itch to conduct. And my colleagues call it going over to the dark side.
Do they really?
Oh, indeed. I mean, there's a funny sort of formulation that the natural enemy of musicians is the conductor.
It should be the best friend of musicians is the conductor, right?
That in theory, yes. Well, I guess it might come from the past when conductors were really authoritarian figures.
Sometimes tyrannical figures.
They were indeed quite tyrannical. There are legendary stories of Toscanini screaming at the NBC Symphony Orchestra, although he was actually a loving father in many ways. But yes, indeed, that was the stereotypical image of a conductor for so long. And thank heavens now that has changed. I think in the United States it really completely shifted when Leonard Bernstein became prominent as the first American trained conductor. And he abandoned all of that patriarchal, hierarchical attitude, and he convinced his musicians really through love, through love of the music and the fact that he loved them and they loved him. And that's how he got the extraordinary results he got, he did with us.
So how would you characterize your relationship with the players of the Midco Symphony Orchestra?
Oh, it's a fantastic relationship. I've been with the orchestra for 15 years, which is really hard to believe, because every year feels like the first one in a way. This is a really very, very unique orchestra, because it's, I don't want to call it an amateur orchestra, because it's not. It's really an all-volunteer orchestra of musicians who are highly trained and have a need to play orchestral classical music. It's just part of their DNA. And so there's a very high degree of motivation in this orchestra, an enormous reservoir of energy and will and commitment. I feel it's a relationship really built on mutual respect and them expecting me to bring exciting interpretations and programming to the orchestra and to the audiences.
That's the best kind of relationship, really.
It's a wonderful relationship.
And yeah. I know that you're doing something different for your January concert. You have a new piece of music that the orchestra will be performing.
Yes, indeed. Look, our programming, we try to be very fresh with our programming. We've done a couple of premieres. We did a piano concerto by Vin Schender, who's a composition teacher at Bowdoin College. I think it was 2 years ago. And in our upcoming concerts on January the 12th and 13th, we're doing the world premiere of the trumpet concerto by Rich Shemaria, who's actually a jazz composer from New York City.
Really?
Yeah, and he's professor of jazz composition at NYU. And the trumpet soloist is Wayne Dumain, who's an outstanding New York trumpet player who's played with the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra and New York Philharmonic and is one of the top freelancers in New York City. And Wayne and I have a long relationship going back, and I called him up and said, well, look, the orchestra loved you last time you played, because he played the Tomasi concerto with us about half a dozen years ago. So I said, Wayne, well, what have you got to play for us? Just don't do Hummel, please. And he said, well, look, let me think about it. So he spoke with a friend, and Rich Shemaria. So Rich has written this piece especially for the Midcoast Symphony and for Wayne. So this will be the world premiere performances of Rich's concerto, which is a really interesting piece because it has
some jazz influence
in it.
Nothing to do
with jazz. Okay. On the surface.
Okay.
I think it's informed by the jazz practice of different instrumental sections kind of being featured in a jazz performance, like a conversation. But in terms of rhythm and harmonic language, it's really straight out of Rich's own harmonic imagination. But it is, he loves to compose with very transparent orchestration. So this piece will feature all the different parts of the orchestra in a way as equal partners with the trumpet soloist.
Well, it sounds wonderful.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it.
Do you find that when you do something like that, that it brings a different kind of energy level to
the
orchestra?
Absolutely. Well, there's something liberating about doing absolutely new music, because there are no precedents. There's no previous model of interpretation.
Or no favorite recordings that everybody has in their mind to compare with. Right.
So we have to, it's up to the artists, it's up to us, to me and the orchestra, to find our own intuitive responses to this music. And that's really super exciting. So you can really cut loose in a way.